You're listening to The Rick Smith Show on the Progressive Voices Network.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to reduce it to the size where I could drag it into the bathroom and drown in the bathtub.
You bet I cut the taxes at the top.
How dare you? How dare you?
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Rick Smith Show starts now.
Welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Not an awful lot to get to. I'm going to spend a lot of time on one thing. We've got a guy running for governor here in Pennsylvania who is bat blank crazy. Just absolutely lunatic, off his rocker, nuts. And we've been saying that for a while. Look, I mean, you know, nothing new here. As a state senator, was a lunatic to begin with. But today's, whatever that was, temper tantrum, hissy fit, whiny rant, whatever it was, his handlers being stupid. Every person who works for him should immediately quit or be fired for allowing him to put that, whatever that was, out on the Facebook. I mean, this is the reason that you have handlers. This is the reason that you have people who are sane and rational running campaigns, and you don't have lunatics running for public office. And look, you know, here's the reality. The sad reality is there's only one reason this guy's even anywhere near running for governor. Donald Trump is in the White House. With someone like Trump in the White House, anything is possible. And I'll tell you, I actually thought, and I feel really stupid for it now, to be honest, I actually thought Wagner was going to run a really disciplined campaign. I thought he had a lot of money. He had access to lots of money. He was going to be able to pull in tons of cash. And look, he's a worker, so he's going to outwork whomever. I mean, because the guy's just, well, he's nuts. I didn't see him continually imploding. I thought he had a little bit better discipline in messaging. I thought he was maybe just a smidge smarter. I was wrong. And look, I thought it was going to be a close race. I thought, all told, this would be a really close race. But Wagner could come out on top. So I was mentally preparing for Pennsylvania to be, right in the league with Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, one of those states that just pushes the worst stuff through and quickly. But here's the thing. This is what just kind of blows my mind. And I'm sure everyone has seen it. And if you haven't, check our Twitter feed at Rick Smith Show. There is the clip of Scott Wagner going on this little rant of his. And the money shot, if you will, was, well, this little ditty. here it comes. This is former state senator Scott Wagner standing out on the side of the road underneath a billboard with a folding chair full of, I'm not really sure what he had, to be honest. I just looked at it and go, I don't get the prop, and I don't get the thing sticking out of the ground either. Not a very good image. But here you go. Here's Here's former state senator Scott Wagner.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
Yep, sick and tired of the negative ads. Got to stomp on your face with golf spikes! Ah! Nothing says working class hero like golf spikes. Nothing says... Nothing says elitist pinhead like somebody said, I'm going to stomp on your face with golf spikes. I watched the rant a couple of times and I couldn't help but go, get help. Seriously. There are places, there are medications, there's a way to help yourself. Get help. You've got the resources. Next time, instead of wearing the whatever that is, without the sleeves, maybe next time you could afford a coat with sleeves. I don't know, maybe go there. But this whole thing and the discourse, and look, this is who Scott Wagner is. This is really who the Republican Party is. Understand, this is what we've gotten. We've got a bunch of bullies. Who, remember, just yesterday, the Republican Party was talking about, it's those liberals! Those liberals are violent. They're coming. And you have this. He's literally saying he's going to stomp on his face with golf spikes. Now, to Tom Wolf's credit, and I love the guy. I've known him for years. I consider him a friend. He's somebody I've known for a very long time. He was evidently at a Philly Daily News editorial board when the news broke of the video of him getting stomped. And he said, first of all, I think that would hurt, and I don't think I'd like it. That was his response. I don't think I'd like it. I think it would hurt. I'll take him on. None of the vitriol, none of that. He's just blowing it. He's just being him. He's just being Scott Wagner. That's all. But here's my problem. This is who the Republican Party is. And there's a segment of the population that they're going to look at that video and go, see, he's going to fight for us. He's going to... Him and his golf spikes. They're going to fight for us. He's a working class champion. While most working class people can't afford to go to the country clubs that he belongs to. And in fact, none of his workers who pay his membership fees could possibly go to the country clubs that he participates and plays with himself on. But that doesn't matter. Now, what set him off, I guess, is... there was a billboard that pointed out that his company, that he, as head of his company, had sued almost 7,000 Pennsylvanians for garbage fees. And it's accurate. Look, the company went after, senior citizens and went after people who couldn't pay their garbage bill. And he was going on this rant of any business is going to want to get paid. And, instead of just letting it go. See, this is part of understanding how the game of politics is played. There are things that you can't just let it go. Let it go. Don't even respond to it. Don't even acknowledge that it exists. But he's the kind of guy, like Trump, who just can't let it go. The difference is baby Trump, our baby Trump, he's incapable of, like Trump, of actually letting anything go. The difference is that he has no charisma. He is a bull in the china shop. He is an absolute bully. He has no personality. He has no social media conscience. He has no ability to frame messaging. He's just a bull in a china shop. He's just a bully in a china shop. And, look, the reality is the latest poll shows him down 52 to 30, 18% undecided. I think now we could take those 18% and put them fully into the decided category. And as I tweeted out today, I think Lynn Swann is going to be a very happy man at the end of this election cycle. For those who don't know Pennsylvania politics, Lynn Swann took a major beating for the Republican Party back, 2006, was it? When Ed Rendell, basically just, mopped the floor with him. I think he lost like in the 20-25% range, something really just wow. You go, how'd that happen? I think he's going to get beaten worse than that because he's clearly not not all there. And, you know, the thing that gets me is the hypocrisy. I mean, here's a very rich guy who claims he's going to be, you know, the working person's champion, yet he pays his workers crummy wages. He refuses to show his tax returns, much like Trump. He has sued people for, you know, like Trump, you know, the whole nine yards, and then gets upset when people point it out. Now, here in Pennsylvania, and I think in a lot of states across the country, if you don't pay, we've privatized most of our trash pickup. Where I lived in Ohio, the local community picked up your trash. It was something we used to do for ourselves. We used to be able to, as a function of we the people, as part of the commons, as what we did for ourselves, we used to have municipal trash pickup. And, you know, the city workers would come by. In fact, in the city that I lived in, they would literally come to the back of your house, pick up your trash cans, wheel them out to the front of the house. The trash truck would come by, take your trash away. And then they used to have a crew that took the cans back. You didn't even have to take them from the back of your house to the front or back. That's what they used to do. Well, I moved to Pennsylvania, and shock of shock, they've privatized most of it. So it's a private for-profit company that I have no choice. I have to participate. Regardless of how much trash I put out, I have to pay. And I think for us, it's like $150, like $200 a year. So if you don't pay it, and this is one of those things where my credit card had one point, you remember the whole Target credit card debacle? Well, our credit card numbers had changed, and we didn't update it quick enough with the trash company, and we missed two billing cycles, because I'm not really good at catching up. So they sent me this really angry letter saying that if you don't pay, you know, this isn't and it was the township that sent it. If you don't pay, you know, we'll fine you and we'll bring you to court, and it could lead to you losing your house, because they can literally take your house away for not paying your trash bill. And that's the kind of setup that, you know, someone like Wagner has benefited from. It's where he's made his money. He's made his money off of forcing people to use his service. If you live in an area that decides that you're going to use his company, you are forced to use his company. And these are the people who tell you they believe in competition. So I can't subcontract with someone else. I have to use that. And, you know, here's the guy who says that, you know, we should be doing away with unions and people paying union dues, and, you know, we shouldn't do any of that stuff, but you pay me. It's quite hypocritical. So I just find it interesting that, you know, this guy now has lost his mind. And this is one of those things where you go, if you gave him money, if you were a Republican in the state of Pennsylvania dumb enough to send him a dime, he just threw it down the hole. And look, how do you justify this?
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
Golf spikes. I love the emphasis on golf spikes. Like that's supposed to really... Has it really gotten this bad? I mean, that this is the best he can come up with? I guess it is. Anyway, I'm going to spend a little time. In the next segment, we're going to have John Fetterman, mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, on. He's the nominee for lieutenant governor here in the Commonwealth. He's running with Tom Wolf. And look, I hope he's the next lieutenant governor, and I hope Tom Wolf gets reelected, because, look, there's so much that needs to be done, and there's so much that can't be done if Wagner's in office. And look, please, if you're a voter in Pennsylvania, please, November 6th, get out and vote. In my view, vote for Tom Wolf. Vote for sanity. Vote for, you know, rational thought. You know, seriously, vote for help. Vote to help. And I'm hoping maybe we should take up a collection to get Scott Walker back, or Scott Wagner back on his meds. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Braddock Mayor John Fetterman is going to be here to share some thoughts on today's meltdown. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
There's nothing more American than workers standing up, and the union gives a voice to win on The Rick.
Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1899. That was the day union miners in Mount Olive, Illinois, began commemorating Miners' Day. Every year, thousands came into town for a parade, music, and speeches. Mount Olive was the site of the only union-owned cemetery in the United States, established by UMWA Local 728 in the aftermath of the Verdun Massacre. A year before to the day, striking miners had been killed in a shootout with company goons attempting to herd scabs into the mines in Verdun, Illinois. But, as Mother Jones biographer Elliot Gorn notes, the train never unloaded its cargo and the company was forced to settle. The union hoped to erect a gravesite monument commemorating those miners who had been killed at Verdun, but they were refused by those who considered the fallen miners to be murderers and not martyrs. That's when the United Mine Workers established the Union Miners Cemetery, and on this day, 10,000 turned out for the union's memorial ceremony. The United Mine Workers unveiled a monument dedicated to the fallen Verdun miners E.W. Smith, Joe Gitterly, Ernest Kramer, and E.F. Long. The day was filled with parades, music, laying of wreaths, and speeches. Haymarket widow and radical activist Lucy Parsons was among the speakers. In his book, Death and Dying in the Working Class, Michael Rosnow notes that her presence drew a direct connection between the fallen miners and the Haymarket martyrs, cut down while advancing the cause of labor. Thousands traveled to Mount Olive every year for celebrations, including Eugene V. Debs, miners' leader John Mitchell, and Mother Jones. In 1923, Mother Jones asked to be buried with her boys, noting they are responsible for Illinois being the best organized labor state in America.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
Golf spikes! That's the word of the day, golf spikes! Yes, true, honest, working class hero right there, Mr. Vast. Look, maybe next time, maybe you buy a jacket that actually has sleeves. Just kind of throwing it out there. But, you know, I'm this clip is never going to get old to me.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
He's not just sick. He's sick and tired. Him and his golf spikes. I'm here to share some thoughts on the just pure gold. I mean, this is if you're running a campaign against someone, this is what you want them to do, which is why I've asked Braddock Mayor John Fetterman to come talk with us. He is the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor, running with Tom Wolf, which I got to tell you, I think right now, and I know he's not going to agree, but I think it's over. I think this was the spike in the heart of the evil empire. John, thanks for taking time for us.
I joked, I sent out a tweet, I said, Scott Wagner is a tracker on his own company or on his own campaign. Like, he put that video out. It's not like that was a hidden video. That, you know, he actually got on the side of a highway yelling at a billboard. And I want to point out, Rick, that billboard has nothing to do with our campaign. We didn't put that billboard up. No one, you know, like, no affiliation whatsoever. So he's on the side of the road with a stack of paychecks. Like, instead of giving his workers his paychecks that they deserve, he's holding on to them in a chair by the side of a road, yelling at a billboard that we didn't put up. And, of course, as the clip indicated, he just completely has lost his mind.
But, so, you know, this isn't the first time the guy's lost his mind. He's always been off the path.
Yeah.
And,
he's just unhinged and he's unstable. He's unkind. He's unstable and he's unfit. It's really just the bottom line. And I don't care what your political persuasion is, but even top Republicans, all across the country are weighing in and saying it is just unacceptable beyond the pale. And so it's not a partisan thing to condemn someone standing on the side of a road yelling that he's going to stomp on your face with golf spikes. It's like, who talks like that?
I can't stop laughing. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just one of those things that just insane to me. But you know, even Representative Steve Scalise, the Republican who got shot, yeah. he's going, you know, these comments are totally unacceptable. As I've said many times before, there is absolutely no place in our politics for this kind of rhetoric. And you go, but here's my problem, John. And it's good.
Ben Shapiro is one of the main luminaries on the conservative side. He said it's disgraceful. He's like, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I mean, like,
I agree, but here's my point. My point is in the post-Trump era, I mean, we are now in the Trump era. This is who the Republican Party is, or it appears to me, and you could disagree, but this is who they are. This is what they believe. This is what they do. So, I mean, you look at Kavanaugh's unhinged, whatever the hell that was a couple of Thursdays ago. You look at this. It's just when they show us who they are, can't we believe them?
Well, I can't ever remember any politician, certainly running at the level of governor for the fifth largest state in the country, speaking in that kind of a manner. Like, you know, even if he said something goofy, like "I'm going to kick your butt, Governor Wolf," which is inappropriate, but it's like, but who's like, get a catcher's mask because I'm going to stomp on your face with golf spike? Like, who? Like I said, who says that? Who thinks like that? So.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I've always said he fashions himself the Tony Soprano of Central Pennsylvania. Here it is.
He's this little doughboy, you know, he's standing on the road, you know, ranting and raving, and it's just crazy. And it's just bizarre to me that you would speak to somebody in that kind of a manner. I mean, the bottom line is this, Rick, is that Scott Wagner put that video out as a representation of, like, this is what he wants you to know about him. And he was loud and proud until it hit the airwaves, and people were rightfully mortified by it. And he's national, Rick. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, CNN, NBC, CBS News, the New York Times, Daily Beast, Newsweek. He's literally one of the top national stories, certainly in politics, Drudge Report. So he's really turned this into a national spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump's going to be ticked. He stole the news cycle, and not really in a good way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like you have the GOP nominee threatening to stomp on someone's face with golf spikes. I don't know what would make someone think that's a good look for anybody, but apparently that's Scott Wagner, and that's what I hope people, you know, take from the whole scene is like, any, you know, like this man is unhinged, unfit, and unstable.
And I got a question. I really have to question his staff. You know, what kind of a staffer would allow him to go live? Unscripted, you know, unhinged. What person would allow him to do that?
I feel, you know, whatever his staff is, you know, just taking orders. You know, like I said, Scott's directing his campaign. I mean, you saw that email he sent out a few days ago saying he's tapped out, and you know, Republicans establishment's out to get me, and he was being publicly lynched. Publicly or something. I mean, just really bizarre and inappropriate things. And Scott's been highly problematic for a while with some of his things. But this is beyond the pale. And yeah. Of course, my running mate, Governor Wolf, responded in a completely restrained and tactful manner. And it just demonstrates why, you know, he's just the right choice.
Yeah, I think the response of "that would hurt, I don't think I'd like it" was the perfect one.
Yeah, what a gem of a response! You know, when you have a guy yelling at a billboard on the side of a highway, and Governor Wolf responds in such an even, measured way. So I don't know. But
so let me ask you this, John, because, you know, as a human being, you know, it's one thing to mock him. And look, he really deserves to be mocked over this. Is this not really a call for help? I mean, at some point, should we not have an intervention to help this guy? Because it looks like he's off his meds.
I don't know what that threshold would be, but what I do know is that Scott Wagner literally went national today with what he said and did on the sideline, and it wasn't like some undercover video, like his Young and Naive dust up or some of these other things where it was hidden video or a hot mic kind of a thing. He actually put this out there, that this was on his Facebook page. So I'm not sure what he thought was going to happen when you say that kind of stuff. But the thing is, Rick, he didn't really apologize. He said, "I used the wrong metaphor." And then he implied that Governor Wolf was blamed because Governor Wolf, is running. You know, Governor Wolf isn't running negative ads. You know, we're not running negative ads. We're running, you know, Governor Wolf's running on his record. And as I said, that billboard isn't from our campaign. It has no affiliation with our campaign. So it's really just completely bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. But it brings me back to my thought of, you know, don't we need to be doing something for mental illness? I mean, because this really, the highlight of this is, you know, maybe we should be talking about mental illness, because I'm looking at this and going, there's nothing rational, there's nothing sane about what we saw. And I don't know how you justify saying, you know what, we're gonna stomp you with golf spikes. I just don't know how you do that.
I'm not gonna wade in on that. But what I will say is that I think Scott's feeling the weight of his campaign and as he should after that kind of a meltdown.
Yeah. Now we're closing in on, you know, on November 6th. We're heading down the final stretch here, and as you pointed out, look, he's feeling the pressure. How are you guys doing?
Oh well, hey, we're on our way back to Western PA from York. We had a great event in York, again, capacity crowd for the York County Democratic event, and that's what we're seeing all across Pennsylvania in these red counties. Is you know, biggest crowd in the last 10 or 15 years or more, and there's a lot of energy there, and it's impossible to deny that the elephant in the room was Scott Wagner's meltdown, but we're really still talking about the important things, like organized labor, how he wants to destroy unions in Pennsylvania, how he wants to take away a woman's right to choose, how he wants to take away health care for Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania, how he has taken $1 million from Betsy DeVos and wants to work to experiment and privatize public education through Betsy DeVos and her family's foundation and interest. So it's really just, you know, reminding, it's not just crazy things he says to a billboard on the side of the road. It's really his policy and how dangerous he would be to the union way of life and other democratic ideals that we all cherish.
Yeah, and for me, as I've been telling people, and I've had conversations with a number of conservatives over the last couple of days, and saying, look, you know, he got $1 million from Betsy DeVos and then took it to Wall Street and lost it. Took it to the gambling house and lost.
Well, that's the joke. That's the quip I make at an event. I said, the bad news is he got $1 million from Betsy DeVos. The good news is he lost $600,000 of it investing, you know. So there's so many reasons why he should be disqualified. And this meltdown was just the latest version of it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the meltdown aside, I mean, you know, go back to that $1 million. He took $1 million and turned it into 300,000+. Is that who you want? Is that who you want running the state budget? Is that who you want handling your tax dollars?
I just would remind every union brother and sister listening, or anyone that you know, friend, family in a union, whatever. This man has compared union members and unions to Adolf Hitler.
Yep.
And again, this is a fact you can look, you can you can, you know, look it up in a reputable news source, compared it to Hitler, and wants to exterminate unions, the union way of life in Pennsylvania. And that, it to me, is deeply alarming. And I won't stand for that, and I will do, there isn't anything I won't do, you know, go around, hell, we won't get home till after 11 tonight. It's that important, and we have a full slate of events tomorrow and Sunday. We're committed to making sure everyone understands just what's on the line in Pennsylvania with Scott Wagner running for governor.
No, you're one of the hardest working guys in politics. Every time I talk to you, you're somewhere, you're on your way to somewhere, you're coming from somewhere, you're never home. And look, you got to get home to the wife and those kids, because they're not going to stay a little long.
No, they're not, and there's some things that I'll never get back that I missed that I can't. But ironically, this is some of the biggest reasons why I'm doing this is because, you know, Pennsylvania would change in a ways that would I don't want to envision for my children, and I wouldn't for anyone's children. I just want people to understand that even though, especially after today, what Scott did. We can't get a sense of complacency and think somebody else will do it, someone else will door knock. I don't have to vote. You know, like we need all hands on deck still, and we have to make sure that we step up and deliver on November 6th to make sure that we put this away.
I'm right there with you. I'm hoping Lynn Swann is smiling on November 6th.
Oh, the things are all. It's just a different kind of. A Republican party, and it's different times. You know, my bottom line is Governor Wolf stands for all those things and protects and safeguards all those things, and has done a great number of things for the people of Pennsylvania. He deserves a second term, and I'm proud to be his running mate.
There you go. John, I appreciate you taking time for us, as always. Thank you so much. Drop of a hat, you're here. I look forward to talking to you again real soon between now and Election Day.
I appreciate it, Rick, to you and all your listeners. It's always an honor to be on your show.
Thanks so much. Mayor John Fetterman, hopefully Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman very soon. Remember, November 6th, make sure that you're ready to vote. And look, I got to play it again. I have to. I'm sorry. You're probably going to get tired of it, but I got to play it.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone on.
Your proud defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1845. That was the day that the first Industrial Congress of the United States met in New York City. People interested in the problems facing working people, including long hours, low pay, and unsafe working conditions, gathered together. The labor movement was just beginning in this country. These were the years when the early trade unions were formed. Women played an important role in the early labor movement. Female textile mill workers in Lawrence, Massachusetts began to organize for the 10-hour day. In 1844, they established the Lowell Female Labor Reform Association. Their goal was to improve working conditions in the mills. The Lowell Women's Group sent a representative to New York for the Labor Congress. Another important development of the fledgling labor movement was the establishment of labor presses. George Henry Evans, a labor newsman, also attended the Congress. He was the editor of a series of U.S. labor papers, starting with the Workman's Advocate in 1829. He had come to the United States from England, where he had been involved in the trade labor movement. He also attended the Labor Congress. The meeting recommended the formation of three organizations.
first was an industrial brotherhood for workers, including farmers. The second was an industrial sisterhood for women workers. The third was a group for friends of labor. The Congress met again in New York in 1847, then again met in Chicago in 1850. These early efforts to establish larger labor groups did not gain much traction, but they began to lay the framework for workers to come together to discuss their challenges and imagine how they could work together to bring about change for better wages, shorter hours, and safer working conditions. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. Yes, golf spikes. Hashtag golf spikes. Not only golf spikes, but sick and tired. He's sick and tired. He's sick and tired. I'm going to get you with my golf spikes. Whew. And look, I think my position of, you know, maybe there's an intervention that needs to be had here. This is a moment, I think, to really maybe talk about mental health issues. Because clearly he's devolving right before our very eyes. If you remember the debate, you know, he grabbed the microphone and I'm going to take the stage and I'm not. He was having a meltdown right there. So this is not new. And this is a guy who's been acting out for a while. I mean, golf spikes. Anyway, here to share some thoughts also on the golf spike gate. I've asked our good friend Kevin Mahoney to come back, Editor Zero over at Raging Chicken Press. Kevin, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, what the heck is going on in our world?
Golf spikes!
Oh, man, golf spikes! You know, I was watching him today, like, and I listened to Fetterman talk about this, and I agree. Like, the guy sitting at the side of the road, yelling at the billboard, all I could think is, like, this guy is what you would get if Rodney Dangerfield and Tony Soprano had kids. Like, this is it. That's the guy. I just couldn't believe it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, with all the disturbing images that brings to your mind, that's why this guy is there.
And you know,
what do you do when every day it's like this? His campaign has just been one constant off the rails, kind of like, you know, aggrievement kind of circus.
Yeah.
That he's attempting to just ride the tails of, you know, Donald Trump, but he's nothing but like a second-rate small town, big fish in a little town, guy who runs a trash business by stealing from the public coffers. And that's who this guy is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. As I was telling my wife during the break, you know, he ran a very good campaign for state senate. He actually ran a write-in campaign. I thought you would see that guy, a guy who was very disciplined, a guy who, you know, was, you know, outworked everybody. What we have seen almost from the beginning is someone who is really there's some screws loose, and I'm not going with just one. There's a whole box of screws missing.
Well, you're talking about, like, screws being loosed an entire political party, right? An entire ideology, and that's really what's going on.
Right.
Because if you remember, one of the first meetings that Wagner took after he announced his run for governor was with Steve Bannon, right? Steve Bannon was on board with that guy, right? And came in to kind of, like, you know, I don't know, lend his voice, lend his ideas, lend his aid to Scott Wagner's campaign. And right then and there, you knew that this is the way that Scott Wagner was going to run that campaign. I mean, he had already been, like, you know, threatening to be the guy with the baseball bat on the floor of the state Senate that was going to keep the moderate Republicans in order so that they could kind of ride the Tea Party wave. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who's had that kind of, you know, runaway temper that he just can't keep his mouth shut, that he uses threat and intimidation as a way of governing. And I think that the Trump victory and kind of the Steve Bannons and then the Koch money now coming into Pennsylvania has all just kind of pushed him in that kind of direction. And now we get to see what's underneath that mask. Not the catcher's mask, but the mask of Scott Wagner that ran for Senate.
Yeah, I mean, you've run campaigns before. You've been involved in this stuff before.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being his handler? Can you imagine being the guy behind the camera and not shutting it off?
No, but and here's the thing, right? Well, not shutting it off, yes, exactly. Not shutting off, but this is the thing. His whole campaign has been like this. Like, let's not recall just last week, right? He goes off and, you know, he goes on some other rant, and then he's going to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, give my little speech at the farm show complex. Then he goes to a local farm, right? And he picks up this big goose, right? And he's sitting there talking with the goose, right, at the podium, right? And the goose takes a large crap all over him, right? And he's wearing this, like, tracksuit-looking thing, right, all over his pants, right? And then, like, yeah, look, stuff like that happens. It's unfortunate. But then his campaign staff posts the picture with all the stuff all over his pants. I mean, well, what do you expect? I mean, that's kind of an indication that, you know, look, I think his even his campaign staff has virtually checked out at this point. They're like, this guy wants to, you know, go down in flames. Let him go because, you know, he's not listening to anything that we've got to say.
Yeah, I said to John, and he didn't pick on it at all. I said, you know, the guy who's going to be happiest in all of this is going to be Lynn Swann. Because Swann took the beating back in 06, just because, hey, nobody else wanted to. You know, this guy, I think, is going to take a real serious beating. Last poll I saw, the Franklin and Marshall poll, has it 52-30 with 18 undecided. I think after this, those 18, we can move those into the decided category.
Yeah, I hope so, Rick. But, you know, maybe it's just overcautious on my part after 2016. Is that, you know, I'm not going to count that guy or anyone out until the polls are closed and the votes are counted, because that was the expectation. We saw what was going on with Trump. Because remember, you know, when Fetterman said something when you were just talking to him, he said that, look, you know, he's gone national with this now. You know, CBS News has picked this up. CNN has picked this up. This story about, you know, about him threatening Wolf with golf spikes, you know, just can't even believe it. But for him to do that, making national news. But let's remember, this is not the first time he's made national news. I mean, not too long ago, you know, he was kind of insulting an 18-year-old who challenged him at a campaign event, right, for basically his ties to the fossil fuel industry and his statements on climate change. Remember, he was basically saying that, you know, climate change, you know, yeah, okay, it's caused by people because people have warm bodies and the Earth every year gets closer to the sun, right? Those were his statements, and that made it on the national score. That made it on John Oliver's show. Right. I mean, to kind of say, this is the guy in Pennsylvania. This is how off the rails it is. And then let's not forget, you know, that this guy has been, you know, he's been cozying up to the anti-LGBT cult leaders, right? Sean Moon, right? And showing up for these kind of like AK-47 blessing ceremonies and stuff. This is a guy who's continuously kind of been flirting with that national stage in the same way that we saw Trump doing that. Right. Just kind of fan the flames. It looks crazy to the rest of us. But, you know, who knows who's paying attention at this point? I'm just hoping the polls are right on this time.
No, I hope so, too. I mean, you know, I can't imagine what this Commonwealth would look like with this guy at the helm. Can you imagine him having his temper tantrums? Can you imagine having his rants and pushing through all the insane policy that he thinks are good ideas?
Yes, I can. I can imagine it. Believe me. I sit there as watching him, for example, you know, as you know, I teach at Kutztown University, which is part of the state system of higher education in Pennsylvania, right? And I watched him sit there and kind of basically go and say directly to students, right? Listen, your system, I hope you know this, and this is what he said in the Senate hearing, the budget hearings for Posse. Your system is done in 4 years. You're out of runway. You're out of oxygen. For those of you who think your schools are going to be around in 4 years from now, it ain't going to be around. Right, he makes these statements consistently. He talks about when the Fight for 15 were lobbying people in the halls of in Harrisburg, right, out in the Capitol building in Harrisburg. Right, he takes the Senate floor and talks about, you know, these guys out there that don't want to work and they're watching their pants fall down. Right, that, you know, I could show them what they would work, but they probably don't want because they're too lazy. They need an alarm clock. Right, this is a guy who is, you know, running, you know, basically everything but an overt kind of racist campaign. This is a guy who's basically wants to completely gut the the public sector. This is a guy who's so anti-union that one of his campaign slogans is protecting your paycheck, a not-so-hidden, a not-so-veiled threat to basically, I'm going to pass, quote-unquote, paycheck protection. In other words, paycheck deception in order ways of gut public sector unions. I mean, so this is a guy who's basically been showing his cards all along the way. What we're just getting to see right now is a more desperate version of that. Because, you know, I look at that guy and I think, you know, he's like, you know, I watch Fetterman on Twitter and I swear to God, that guy is hilarious. If you guys, anybody out there wants to watch somebody who knows how to do like Twitter politics, follow John Fetterman at John Fetterman and see what he's doing with Wagner. Because I swear to God, every time Fetterman comes out with something that, you know, some kind of craziness that Wagner says, I mean, it's like poking a rabid muskrat. And then you watch Wagner just go off the rails once again, right? But that's what it is. And that's how these people are, right? Their aggrievement runs so deep that they think they should be kind of be entitled to the world that you kind of call them on one thing and they flip a nut.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, because, you know, yeah. I've been saying that, look, this is who the Republican Party is right
yes.
now. I mean, you watched the hearing with Kavanaugh.
Yes.
You saw that. You've seen Trump with his behavior. You've seen Wagner. You've seen other people with this kind of entitled, how dare you question me attitude. Now, this is who they are.
That's right. That's absolutely right. 100%.
So
that's who they are.
So, you know, when do we believe them?
Now. We've been saying on our podcast for a long time. It's like, look, it's time we just bury this party. Right. And like, you know, there was a time and like I used to say this all the time. Right. You know, you want the same people in the Republican Party to come back and reclaim their party.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. We're past those days. Right. And so we're at that point now where you just got to bury the party. And this is where, you know, actually, look, I like the one of the things that Eric Holder said. Right. I mean, it's about time we've got a Democrat. Like, you know, again, it's going crazy on right wing news right now. But he comes out and says, like, I know Michelle Obama wants to say when they go high, we go low. I mean, I've been saying for a while now, when they go high, when they go low, punch down. You know, it's like you don't sit there and try to kind of ride the high road because they have no interest in this. This is kind of overt direct power politics right now.
No,
right? And that's what we've got to play for.
Absolutely. And I said the day Michelle Obama said it, I responded with no.
Yes.
No. When they go low, you kick them in the teeth.
Exactly.
Make sure they never do it again. Look, and I went through this yesterday. You know, when I played football, when they went after your knees, you push their face into the ground and
exactly.
you put your knee in the back of their neck so they never did it again.
Exactly.
And this is exactly. this is why you know, and again, I guess we can blame the Democrats for where things are because they haven't smashed them into the ground.
No, and they still haven't learned their lesson. And I know this is a little kind of off topic right now, but look what they just did just yesterday with allowing 15 justices to be appointed, right? On the grounds that, like, oh, well, we got to be able to campaign. All you needed was a team of, like, maybe 3 or 4 Democratic senators to remain behind and say, hey, guys, you're the ones, you're worried about your seat, go campaign. We'll hold down the fort, and we're gonna put the, like, wrench in the gears of the machine here for as long as we can, and we are going to use that as a way of campaigning nationally. That's what you do.
Yep. Well, you listened yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly what I said yesterday.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if we can figure it out, why can't these political elites with all of these moneyed consultants and all of these moneyed advisors, why can't they figure it out?
You got me, Rick. But, you know, all I know is that the Democratic Party are paying the wrong people. It's like, you know, I'm sitting there. You know, it took me 5 minutes. I had one question. I said, wait a minute. They're saying that, you know, we had to do this because we had to go home and campaign. I said, wait, what are the rules? What are the rules of missing votes in the Senate? It took me about 5 minutes to find that stuff online and read the rules and say, there's no thing. As a matter of fact, about 2.5 senators typically miss about 2.5% of their votes right over the course of a year. So put this in your percentage. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
This isn't rocket science. But what they did is, and this is where I was at yesterday, I said what they did is they took whatever credibility they got from the Kavanaugh hearing, and they squandered it for no reason by just going, well, it was going to happen anyway. Well, yeah, it was going to happen anyway, but you still put up a fight.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Climate change is going to happen anyways, Rick. So what, do you just suck up and let the world die? No. I mean, come on.
Where's my spray aerosol can? Screw the grandkids. I'm cold now.
Exactly. Exactly. Set them on fire now. Right? I mean, it's like, well, I mean, this is, it's unbelievable. And you know, I know, you know, we take quite a bit of kind of like hits from people who get pissed off at us for kind of like, you know, like going after the Democrats. But it's like, you know, come on, to some degree, the frustration has got to reach, you know, reaches that level. And this is why, you know, again, you know, I'm not paid by the Fetterman, you know, Fetterman campaign. Just want to be clear. But that guy, you know, I mean, he's got it right. I mean, he's going out, he's speaking directly to people, and he's not afraid of a fight.
Yep.
This is what we're seeing with the kind of like, you know, the getting rid of the, you know, the Democrats, the entrenched Democrats by these kind of young upstarts. They're coming up and they're willing to fight, and that's what people want.
Well, he is 6'8" and does look like a biker.
Well, no, exactly. Exactly. He's a guy that, you know, that shows up for a fight and then, like, he doesn't ever needs to fight. You know what I mean?
And look, but, maybe we need a whole bunch of them to show up. Look, I love John. He's always been a good friend of the show, and he's always come on and been very accommodating. And hopefully, when he's lieutenant governor, will continue to come on and share thoughts with us. But you know, here's the thing, and this is what's really kind of frustrating, is that you know, I take, you know, guff from people who go, well, why are you beating up on the Democrats? It's the Republicans. I go, the reason I beat up on the Republicans or the Democrats, and I beat up on Obama a lot during his term, is because they should know better.
Yes.
I expect them to be better.
Yes. and if they want to, they make a mistake once, they want to kind of like, you know, extend the olive branch once. Right. And then, you know, the other side, you know, clips a part of the branch off. They'd want to try it again. Right. And the other, you know, the other side sets the other part of the branch to fire. Then you're done. You know, you can try to play nice a couple times, but then you got to learn the lessons.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why. And, you know, again, we're seeing, you know, I have a lot of hope for what we're seeing that's kind of coming up the ranks. Right. I don't know if we're going to get there quickly enough. Right. In terms of control, internal control of the Democratic Party, right? You see the same kind of stuff happening within labor unions right now too, as well. You've got kind of like members, especially in the wake of Janus, you got kind of members kind of getting kind of a little unruly, right? To kind of trying to push up and try to kind of claim over their institutions, and you're seeing that, you know, in politics as well. And you know, like, more power to them all, right? And I think that, you know, this is what we're going to have to do. And so yes, we have to kind of have the argument internally, like within the party. Right. And then we're going to try to win that fight. Right. Because we think that, you know, handing over, for example, 15 justices to the Republican Party and getting nothing back for it is not a good move.
15 right? Lifetime appointments to the federal bench.
Right. And I was reading this thing today, Rick, that 1 in 6 justices have been appointed at the appeals court level, have been appointed by Trump.
Yep.
1 in 6.
Yeah. 84 or 86 of them he's been able to appoint so far.
I mean, you know, this is serious.
No, and it's just not Trump's. It's just not Trump. I mean, this is the Republican Party playing that long game that we always talk about.
Exactly.
This was the Republicans obstructing and gridlocking all during the Obama years, just like they did during the Clinton years, which gave Bush the ability to pack the courts with crazy. We're just seeing that continue, and the Democrats still don't have the infrastructure to do anything about it. They still haven't. They keep getting beat with the same institutions that they know are kicking their behind, but yet they do nothing to counter it. There's no leftward version of the Federalist Society. There's no left version of ALEC or the Heritage Foundation or any of the state policy network. There's really no comparable infrastructure.
No, and Rick, how long have we talked about the fact that the left does not invest in its own media infrastructure either, for that matter?
Tell me about it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, and I've said this 1,000 times. You've heard me say it. I've said this to anyone who will listen, is that everything I learned about Pennsylvania politics, I learned from you. Right? When I moved to Pennsylvania and I was looking for trying to understand and get my head around what was happening here in Pennsylvania, it was only your show. Right, that would kind of give me that information so I could get my head around this and understand where the progressive movement was, the progressive edge of politics in this state was. Right, but I also know that there weren't people knocking down your doors with kind of giant checks saying, Rick, look, we believe that we have to invest in kind of our media infrastructure. We believe we have to invest in our infrastructure right across the state, so we want to support your program. Right, if what the right wing does is they go out and they look for people like you on their side. they look for people to kind of donate to and to support because they know how important it is. That's why they invested in their legal institutions. That's why they invest in their academic institutions and their think tanks. And that's why they invested in their media infrastructure. And until the left gets their heads around this, we're going to continue to lose.
You're absolutely right. And it's going to continue to be ugly. You know, look at the narrative here near the last couple of days. It's the angry liberals.
Yeah. It's the mob, Rick. It's the mob.
Last thing I got for you. I got to get your thoughts on this.
Yep.
Donald Trump tweeted out this morning. So nice. Everyone wants Ivanka Trump to be the new United Nations ambassador. She would be incredible, but I can't. I can already hear the chants of nepotism. We have great people who want the job. Does everybody want Ivanka Trump to be the next ambassador to the UN?
Well, because everybody is Trump, right? That's it. And everybody is his family. That's it. Right. I mean, I actually, it was funny. Just the other day, I was talking to somebody about this right when we, you know, we're talking about the UN and stuff. And I said, how much you want to make a bet at some point that we're going to get like Ivanka or Jared that's going to head out the UN? And then this happens, and I'm like, no, you got to be kidding me. It's like I should stop using my words, Rick, even suggesting these things.
They're tapping I mean? Your phones.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, nothing surprises me. But Kevin, great talking to you again. You got to come back more often.
Yeah, you got it, man. I think I got my head screwed on straight now and got a little rested up. So I'm ready to get back in the fight.
Good stuff. Our good friend Kevin Mone. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Make sure you check out his work over at Raging Chicken Press, our good friend Editor Zero. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Are united, they can never be divided.
What was yesterday? There's a brand new sham today.
Uncovering the con in conservatism. Rick Smith.
I'm David Filman, Executive Director of AFSCME Council 13. AFSCME members enforce regulations, keep prisoners behind bars, take care of patients, protect the environment, and more. Chances are you may never see that AFSCME member working in a sewage plant, diving underwater to repair a bridge, inspecting an elevator, or answering a 911 call. But aren't you glad they do? For more information, visit AFSCME13.org.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. The Rick Smith Show.
So Trump is in Ohio tonight doing one of his campaign rally things. Southern Ohio, Lebanon, Ohio, or Lebanon, as they say there. Here in Pennsylvania, it's Lebanon. But evidently, you know, caught right out, got some folks all upset. He was talking about Robert E. Lee being finally recognized as a great general. He said the racist icon was a great general, and Abraham Lincoln developed a phobia about him. He couldn't beat Robert E. Lee. He was going crazy. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Anyway, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy has introduced a piece of legislation. I'm going to fund the wall. We're going to get the big, beautiful wall after all, perhaps. The measure dubbed the Build the Wall, Enforce the Law Act is going to provide $23.4 billion to build the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, with another $5.5 billion of funding available immediately. I got to tell you, giant waste of money. Did you not see the story this week of the solar-powered tunnel with the rail line under the big, beautiful wall? Did you not see that? They already have the technology. And look, if it's the drug cartels that are moving us towards renewable energy, since our government won't, okay. I don't know. But again, you know, you build the wall. Let's say you build a 30-foot wall. All you're going to do is increase the sales of 31-foot ladders. Or shovels. tunnels. Come on. And what we know, and this is the thing that's really, really infuriating. What we know is most people who are here in an undocumented fashion come here on airplanes or on boats or in cars. Very few of them walk across the desert. Not many of them are jumping the fence. So it's kind of stupid. But again, it's the narrow-minded thinking that you get from people like Trump and Wagner and Kavanaugh and this very elitist, narrow-minded, narrow-viewed, narrow-focused, nitwit group that seem to be running us directly into the ground. And come November 6th, the hope is sanity eventually comes back to us. And I know I've been saying it for a while. Please, Republicans, take your party back somewhere near the sane line. Never mind. We just got to leave you behind. Sometimes we just got to cut some loose and leave you behind. Just my thought. Anyway, love to hear yours. You can email me, Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.